Okay, here we go with some more Tochacha from Sefer Hosea. Now we are in the second half of Sefer Hosea. We know there are 14 prakim in Hosea, and now we are in Perek Ches. Perek Ches in Hosea, Hashem tells Hosea, again, most of this is talking to the Malchei Yisrael still. Towards the end, we have a little bit talking to the Malchei Yehuda and the Am of Yehuda. Says the Navi, El Chikha Shofar, to your palate, bring a shofar, meaning blow the shofar, Hosea. Kanesher al Beis Hashem, like an eagle, or like a vulture, as many explain. Al Beis Hashem, on the house of Hashem, that's how fast the enemy is going to come. Yan avru brisi vestorasi posho, because they violated my bris, and they have been negligent against my Torah. Interesting, it's bris and Torah. Torah is the actual laws, and bris might just be the covenant and the connection and the relationship. They have violated both, not just the laws, but they have been made for the bris between them. Some say the Abarbanel says maybe this is talking about specifically a certain time of not just the in general, but specifically, as we'll see, relating to an event that he's going to mention in the next pasuk. But first, says the pasuk base, li yizaku. So is that past or future? Rashi says, this is talking about the time of the Onesh. They're going to scream to me when they're getting punished. Eloka yida anucha Yisrael, we know you. The problem is that I won't listen. I'm not going to listen, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shechina, kishetavo aleim hara'a. They're going to scream out. Vani lo eshma lahem, ki zonach Yisrael tov, because the Bnei Yisrael, the next pasuk, zonach Yisrael tov, oyev your defoe. So Rashi learns this out as part of the onus. They're going to cry. I'm not going to listen. The Radak says, no, it's talking about they should have. Li yizaku, they should have cried. Hayalem li Yisrael litzok elai be'esarasa. They should have cried. They didn't. And that's the problem. They should have cried, and then I would have listened to them. And finally, the Abarbanel says, a third shot, li yizaku, they will cry. What does that mean? After Malchei Yisrael go through what they go through, and Shomron, and they are subjugated, and they are sent out to Galus, then Sancherev, as we know, is described in Malachim Beis, will come and surround Yerushalayim eventually, and Bnei Yisrael will cry out to Hashem, and they will be saved from that eventuality. As we know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu killed the 185,000 soldiers overnight, the tremendous nace, and that's what the pasuk is referring to, according to the Abarbanel, that they will literally, be'emestik, call to me, and it's going to work. Zonach Yisrael Tov, continuing, Bnei Yisrael Zonach, they have left the Tov. What's the Tov? Different pshatim, but either it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, who is the ultimate Tov, or the Torah. Ki lekach Tov nasati lachem. Zonach Yisrael Tov, Oyev Yir Defos, the Oyev is going to overtake them. Heim him lichu, v'lo mimeni. They were mamlich, but it wasn't that I told them to be mamlich. Hey siru. Right, what does that mean? So if you continue the pasuk, maybe it's parallel. They put sarim, just like they put malachim. They put sarim, hey siru v'lo yadati. And I didn't tell them to put these sarim. Rashi says maybe it also can mean the samach of the sin switch. They have removed themselves. But what does it mean? Who were they mamlech? So maybe it just means leaders and kings. The Radak suggests maybe it even means Yeravim ben Nevat. Yeravim ben Nevat, who was told that he was going to be king by Achia Shiloni. But remember, he was told al tnai, you're only going to be king if you keep the Torah. And you, Bnei Yisrael, you followed Yeravim, even though he misled you, even though he said, don't go to Yerushalayim, and he set up the alternate temples up north. That's your problem, Hosea says. If a leader does something wrong, we do not believe in rabbinic infallibility. We don't believe in monarch infallibility, right? If kings do something wrong, then they're out, and we can't follow them. And that's what the Radak says here. Even though it was from Hashem, first of all, they might not have known that. They didn't ask Hashem. Yeravam just told him. And therefore, they should have removed him from the Malchus because of all the terrible things that he was telling them to do. Right? We know what the Rambam tells us. If it's a Navi that tells you to do Avodah Zarah, you're not allowed to listen, no matter what. So, they're setting up all of these leaders, but it's not from me. Hey, siru v'lo yadati. Kaspam uzahavam asulahem atzavim. They use their gold and their silver that I gave them, Latova, but they use it to make idols, lamani kares, even though eventually they're going to be cut off and cut down. And as that Barbanel emphasizes here, this is blaming the Am. It's not just the leaders. There are psukim that blame the leaders, but this is Hashem holds us all responsible. Right? We have to know. We have to use our head and recognize that it is up to us to make the right decisions with our Bechira Chavshas. Ha'inyan tali ba'ambalo b'melech, kol shegen k'shemem lichu b'lo mimeni, says the Abarbanel. Continuing Pasuk Hey, Zonach Eglech Shomron. Hashem has left your Egel Shomron. Hashem has left you. Chara apibam. An masay lo yuchlu nikayon. When are you going to be able to be clean? When are you going to be spiritually pure? Kimi Yisrael. These gods are made by Jews. These Pepsalim and idols and figures. V'hu charash asahu. V'lo Elohimu. They're not gods. They're made. They're physical. Ki shvavim yiyah Egel Shomron. The Egel and all of these pictures and all of the murals and all of the psalim will eventually become shvavim sawdust. They'll be destroyed. Right? The Yoshe is emphasizing the inner illogical idea of Avodah Zarah, right? It reminds us of the Medrash in the end of Parshas Noach, right? We all know that Medrash. Maybe we don't know it's the end of Parshas Noach, but the Medrash Rabbah there discusses what happened with Avraham and his father, right? Avraham's Terach had an idol store. Kam Nasiv Buklasa B'yadei. Avraham Avinu took a hammer once in his hand. V'tavrei on the kolam psilaya, and he broke all the idols. V'yav v'kol Buklasa B'yadei de Rabbah David Ben Eon, and he put the hammer in the hands of the ones, the biggest idol. And when his father came into Asa, Vua Amar, my Avid Ho Kedain, who did this? Amar Le, Manachaper Minach, I can't hide it from you, I can't deny it. Asis Hada Itza, Tiina Lachada, Pinach the Solis, there was a whole fight, and each of the idols wanted it. Wanted a little flower from this woman. Kam Hadin Rabba, David Ben Eon, the biggest one got up, Nasib Bukla Sava Tavrinin, and broke all the other ones. Amar Le, says Terach to Avra, Matam Falabi, what are you tricking me? Why are you making up a story? Of course he couldn't do that. So Avram's like, listen to your own words. Listen to your words. V'lo yishmu aznecha mashapicha omer. And Terach couldn't handle it. And what does he do? He gives his own son, Nasve umasve le'nimrod. And then we have the story of Or Kastim. Avram Avinu was saved by a fire. He continues, Amar lei nisko le'nura. Nimrod says, bow down to the fire. Avram says, but what do you mean? Water puts out fire. So Nimrod says, okay, bow down to water. Amar lei nisko le'anana. What do clouds carry up water? Okay, bow down to the clouds. Wind pushes the clouds. Okay, bow down to the wind. He keeps going in circles and putting Nimrod on the spot, showing him. That's exactly what the message here is. Hosea says, it's sawdust. It's made of raw materials. How can you say there's anything special about it? And even though we know, you might say, there are items that have inherent kedusha in Yadus, there's something called Tashmishei Kedusha versus Tashmishei Mitzvah, a Sefer Torah, a Mezuzah, Tefillin. So what's the difference? What do you mean? How can you say something physical? But the answer is that has nothing, no inherent kedusha, except its connection to Torah, which is a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you have an apikaris that wrote a Sefer Torah, you can burn it. It's not this physical thing, whatever it is. It is imbued with kedusha, but ultimately because it's connected to the ultimate source of kedusha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the only reason why anything physical could have any kedusha. And there is many rayas and psukim that refer to that. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu was nervous about that. The Meshech Chachma writes, I think it's in Parshas Pinchas, that Moshe Rabbeinu, part of why he had to die before they went into Eretz Yisrael is because they would have just substituted the Egel for Moshe Rabbeinu. And they thought Moshe Rabbeinu is the one. He has inherent powers. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu had to die, to show them that no, it's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Viter. Ki ruach yizro v'sufasi yiksoru. A wind will come and plant after you put seeds in the ground. And then the sufasa, the storm, is going to rip the seeds up, and you're never going to be able to enjoy your fruits. This is all a mashal, that you're going to do all this work for nothing, like with the idols. So it's like the farmer. Kama einlo tzeinlo. Tzemach b'li yase kemach. It's not going to grow. There's not going to be any flower. Ula yase. And even if you make a little bit, zarim yivla uhu, then strangers are going to come eat it. I mean, you never, even if it goes a little bit further and you think that you're having a little success, it's not going to happen. Nivla Yisrael, b'nei Yisrael will get swallowed up amongst the nations. And again, remember, we always have to remember this is set up years before, while they're sitting in Eretz Yisrael with the Beis HaMikdash. Hosea is predicting, Ata hayu bagoyim ki kli ein chefetz bo, will be amongst the goyim like a kli that nobody wants. Right, this is an ultimate curse. Not a curse, but just an onesh that we have, that the goyim think that we're useless. Right? How many times is anti-Semitism's face, the Jews are worthless, the Jews don't give it, they're not worthy of being even humans. right? What Rachman al-Islam, the Germans did, and what every nation does. First, they dehumanize us. Once we're not worthy of being humans, then they could kill us and torture us. But the first step is dehumanizing, right? One of the Mefarshim says, that's Vayareyu Osanu HaMitzrim. Vayareyu, they made us bad in their own eyes. And that's like this pasuk, Kikli Ein Chefetz Bo. That's what we're going to be like in Galus. Like a kli that nobody wants. Right, if we'd be in Galus, then they'd appreciate us. Okay, that's one level. But here, Ein Chefetz Bo, Ki Hema Alu Ashur. They think that the Bnei Yisrael at that time, various stories, the Mefarshim here explain that this is referring to. Hema Alu Ashur, Pere Bo De Lo. They went up to Ashur thinking they could get some help. Pere Bo De Lo. Right, it's like a donkey. Right, Bo De Lo, that's wandering. Ephraim Hisnu Ahavim. Right, Ephraim. Right, gave taxes and presents to the ones that they thought, you know, friends. Why don't you just turn to me, Ephraim? Why don't you turn to me? Interesting. Why dafka pera, donkey? Pera is, different words for donkey, but let's assume it's a chamor, a pera. So maybe it's alluding to the nitziv that we know in the end of Parshas Bo, peta chamor. Very unusual halacha. The halacha is that if a Jew owns a donkey and there is a firstborn donkey, so what do you have to do? There's a status to that donkey. There's no kedusha, it's a non-kosher animal, but there's a status to the donkey. So what do you have to do? You have to be po to the donkey, you have to give a sheep to the kohen, and then the donkey is free to be shel Yisrael. What if you don't? Then you have to break the neck of the donkey. You can't use it. The Mishnah tells us in Bechoros, mitzvos pedia kodem le mitzvos arifa. But what's the message of the arifa? Says the Nitziv laharos lanu shebechor hama'abed es kocho veino rotze gam lios mahana la'anshi maila. If there's a loss of potential, az eino kedai bo'olamo. Might as well not be here. The zeklal gadol. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives a person potential, he has to use it. Shemisha ra'ui lios b'ma'alev u'misrapa mizeh garuo u'mishen eroi l'kach. Hashem gives you chachma and ma'ala, you have to use it. And if you don't use it, then you're like that donkey that's not reaching its potential. It's a very difficult medrash. But again, it teaches us a lesson. Right at the end of Malachim Aleph, right, the story, remember, of Achav and Navos, and Achav wants to take Navos' vineyard, and Zevel sets up false witnesses, and Navos is killed, and Achav takes it, and then Achav is killed. But the Medrash picks up on why was Navos killed? So the Gemara says that he had a beautiful voice, and every year he went to the Beis HaMikdash and gave Hana to all of Klal Yisrael. One year he said, you know what, I'm not going to go this year. It's okay, I'm not going to go. Hashem gave him a beautiful voice. Hashem said, you have this potential, you have to use the potential. It's like that, Petr Chamor. So maybe Dafka here, it uses that mashal. We're like a donkey that's wandering because we're not using our potential. Perabodilo. Ephraim hisnu ahavim, and you just go to other nations to try to make treaties. Gam ki hisnu bagoyim atoa kapseim. And even when you go to the goyim to try to make connections, atoa kapseim. Again, a machlokas. What is this talking about? The Radak, the Mitzudas David, says, I will gather them and galus, I will gather the enemies, and they will fight you. You think you're going to become friends with the enemies, with the Goyim? No, they're going to fight you. Rashi says, no, this is a chelik from the Geula. Even though you make, you know, you're amongst the Goyim and you have these connections, I won't hold back. There will come a time of kibbutz. Vayachelu ma'at mimasa melech sarim. And they will be humbled and flattened and pushed down, mimasa melech sarim, from the masa, which pashas means taxes. There'll be so many taxes that we'll have to bear and throughout the years. So Rashi says, vayikadu ma'at begalusam miyiras masa melech sarim me ol abavim shahayu betocham. The Abarbanel says here, though, another deep idea that applies to so many galios and tragedies that we've been through. It says, vayichilu ma'at mimasa melech sarim. We'll have some trouble from the governments. We'll have a lot of trouble from the Hamon Am. How many times do we see that it's just not just the government that gives us trouble? There might be some, but then the Hamon Am goes one step further and just does pogroms and blood libels. And it's just the Hamon Am out there that takes it into their own hands. Masha'inenu ro'os hayom hazeh, says the Abarbanel in the 15th century. She'yisrael begalusa mikablu chel v'tsa'ar ma'at. Mimasa melech sarim, avo mehamon va'ame hagoyim yachilu ma'od. V'lazeh amar sheyachilu v'yischalchulu ma'at mimasa melech sarim, lo yachilu ma'at b'masa ha'am, ki rabahi. But it'll be a lot from the people and from the hamon am. We continue, ki hirba Ephraim mizbechos lachto. Ephraim is going to build a lot more mizbechos, a lot of altars up north. in sin. Hayelo mizbechos lachato. They had some and they built more and more and more. Mizraim did. Echtov lo rubi tarasi kemozar nechshavu. They look at their mizbechos and they're very comfortable. They look at my Torah and it's like strange. Kemozar nechshavu. Right? They think it's like, what is the Torah? I'm not familiar with the Torah. Or maybe they don't want to be familiar with the Torah. It's so strange. Maybe you could say it doesn't make sense to them. They try to understand the Torah. And they say, this is not something that I understand. This is not something that I want to be meshubet to. Maybe it was like Korach and the common sense rebellion, as Rav Soloveitchik called it. Right? If you put a mezuzah, if you have a whole room full of Sifrei Torah, you need a mezuzah. You have a whole beged full of tchelas. And what do you mean? That's illogical. Kemozar nechshavu, the Torah is so strange. The Torah is something that we can't connect to. There is a Gemara on this pasuk which can be talking about for a while. We'll just touch on it. This is the pasuk the Gemara uses in Gittin and Daf Samach, where the Gemara quotes a fascinating machlokas, whether most of Torah is bichsav or most of Torah is balpeh. Samach amid beis. Amar Abelazar, Torah rov bichsav umiyat alpeh. Where do you see rov bichsav? How does that make sense? The other shita, Rabbi Yochanan, we understand rov alpeh umiyat bichsav. But what do you mean Torah rov bichsav? So says the Gemara, quotes our pasuk. Echtov ro rubi tarasi. I'll write most of my Torah. I'll write most of my Torah. So you see, most of the Torah is written down. So how do you understand that? So Rashi already alludes to the answer. But many expand on the answer. Rov bichsav, what does Rashi say? Rov ha-Torah tluya b'medrash. Sheksuva le-medrash b'chlal uprat v'gzeira shava. V'shar midosh ha-Torah atar nidreshes bahen. U'mi'uta al-peh. She'ein remez lo moba b'Torah ela lemosha namra al peh. So what does that mean? Says the Kiryat Sefer, the Hadama of the Mabit, the Kiryat Sefer, the Machlokas is, everybody agrees that most of the Torah is the Yud Gimel Midos and all the drushes that Chazal makes. So much of Shas is all about the drushes, Kavachom, Gzirah Shavis, Hekish, everything. So that's the Machlokas. The drushes that we learn out from Sukkim, is that considered Bechsav? Is that considered al peh? Is that Mefurish? It's not mafurish b'Torah, but how do you define Torah Sheh Bichsav? Only what's written exactly? Or even items that we learn from what's written? And the only thing that's b'peh is Halacha Moshe B'Sinai and Dvarim She'enam Remuzim Klal. That's the Machlokas. That's what the Mabit talks about here in the Hakdama to the Kiryat Sefer. Written at the same time as the Kesa Mishnah. The Mabit and the Kesa Mishnah were contemporaries. They both wrote Svarim on the Rambam. Different purposes for each Sefer. But the Kesa Mishnah was the one that caught on. That was the one that caught on. That was printed on the page. But in the Hagdama, he writes in Perek Gimel, he says, this Machlokes is about how do you define those Rashas? And we pass on like Rabbi Yochanan. The Eino, says the Mabit, the Eino Nechla B'Torah Shabbat Pele, Sarah Shabbat Lazar, Ela Mash Eino Remez B'Kla B'Torah. The Eino Emeskach. Elok is for us Rabbi Yochanan. Shama ruba al peh. Kikomash and nidrosh ade yud gimel midos. Vishar dvarim sheishlam smach bakasuv. Vinimshah al peh labisinai. Kula mechal torah shabal peim. Ladas Rabbi Yochanan. And that's what's alluded to in Rashi. And other achronim say that as well. But that is alluded to on this line. So again, Hashem says, you're building a lot of mizbechos for nothing. I give you Torah. I give you so much beautiful Torah, and you treat it kamo zar nechshavu. And now, says the Mitzudas David, that we switched down to talking to the Malchi Yehuda. We were just talking about the extra mizbechos that were built up north. Even what's brought in the Beis HaMikdash. Zivchei hav havai, yizbechu basar vayochelu. The karbanos that you bring, and you shech the basar and you eat it, Hashem lo ratzam. Hashem doesn't want it. Because you're not doing tshuva. There's no, you're just doing the mechanical, bringing of the animals. And even maybe you don't think, the Malbim writes, that they don't think the karbanos are meaningful. So what do? They bring a karban and they eat it. They're not careful about the halachas of the avodah, because they think HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not there anyway. That's the continuing, the next part. Next part of the pasuk. Ato yiskar avonam. That's Hashem lo ratzam. It's not that Hashem doesn't want it, but they say Hashem is not interested in the karbanos. Hashem lo ratzam, meaning they deny hashkacha. They deny Hashem is interested. But amram ki lo ratzam she'ein Hashem rotze bekarbanos ki lo daitam Hashem lo yeshkiach ala ma'isa b'nei adam. They don't believe in hashkacha. Av ki lekabel v'yam karbanos. Even to bring karbanos, v'al kein yakrivu l'bayalim l'kochvei hashemayim v'kislehem, Karban amuva Hashem nechshav lahem lachatos. Right, and they don't bring any karbanos. That's what this pasuk. Not just saying that Hashem is not going to accept them, but they said that Hashem is not interested because they denied hashgacha. Ata, what's going to happen now? Yiskar avonam v'yifkod chatosam. They're going to be paid back. Hema Mitzrayim Yeshuva, they'll go back to Mitzrayim. As we know, after the Churban, the remnant went back to Mitzrayim. Vayishkach Yisrael Esoseyu. And in all these days, Yisrael forgot its maker. Vayiven Echalos, they built Echalos, sanctuaries, shuls. Vayehuda, Hirba, Arim, Betsur. They built a lot of fortified cities, but it's not going to help. Vishilach, the Ish, Ba'arev, Ba'achlam, Raseah. This fire, there's going to be destruction. Everything they try to do is not going to work. Interesting, this pasuk of Vayiven Echalos is mentioned, we'll work backwards, is mentioned by a tshuva of the Noda B'Yehuda, and then we'll go back, and that it's even a Yerushalmi. The Noda B'Yehuda has a number of tshuvas, and as well as the Chasam Sofer. The 1800s, the poskim have a number of tshuvas relating to the structure of a shul. So if you look in the 18th tshuva, right, Simin Yud Ches, in the Yud, beginning of the Noda B'Yehuda. Let me just find it here. Yeah, it's in Simin Yud Ches. Says the Noda B'Yehuda has a tshuva. Can you build a shul? Can you build a shul in a shape that is not four corners? Again, oh, sorry, Madura Tinyana. Arachaim Simin Yud Ches. Here's Madura Tinyana. So that's his question. They wanted to build a shul with eight sides, like a trapezoid or some type of other shape, not four corners. Is there any issue? So he says, I don't know what would be the problem. He says there's nothing in Bavli or Yerushalmi or the Poskim or the Rishonim that's the otherwise. That's an amazing statement to be able to make. Vani Mosav Advarif Shevachol Poskim or Rishonim Uvishne Talmudim Lo Reinu Kol Tmuna Sheyila Beis Hakneses Tmuna Miyuchedes. He says I'll even bring you a raya. The Rashba has a tshuva that he quotes that there was a shul and then there was a man, a house that was built next to the shul. It shared a wall, a beautiful house, and then they wanted to expand the shul and the guy was going to knock down the wall in between and then his house was going to be part of the shul. So the Rashba discusses that, but he never brings up the issue of, you know, it's not going to be the right shape. It's not going to be a rectangle or a square. That's not brought up. There are other issues that brought up. People sit on the edge. Now they're going to be sitting in the middle. Different issues. So he says, therefore, I think there's no problem here. And he ends the tshuva. That's what I say, it's mutter. That's why many shuls aren't exactly a square or a rectangle. But I'm just wondering why they're doing this. Did they see this in other temples or other houses, they just like the shape? Ube'emes, then, a na elanu begalusenu lihidamos ulhiskanos bisarim. If that's true, then that's not a good reason to do it. Vim humitamazeh, and if it is, ani karel alzeh, I call about them, our pasik. Vayishkach Yisrael oseyu vayiven echalos. They've forgotten God and they built shuls. Right, that would be a bad reason to do it. Lachin tova davar shalol lachadish davar bimin hagim yishanim uveprat badar azeh aval. But if it's just because there's more room that way and that's the way the land is situated, then no problem. Ein bazech shash iser. So you see this Noda B'Yehuda. He doesn't know. You think he's just quoting our pasuk, which he might be, but there's also Yerushalmi. If you look in Rav Nevinzal in Bamidbar in Parshas Matos, he talks about the concept of hiddur mitzvah, and he says we always have to make sure that we're not mahadir in the hiddur and forget about the ikar. So sometimes we forget. You have somebody who has a beautiful chanukiah, spends thousands and thousands on a chanukiah, silver, gorgeous, and then he says they use paraffin for the light because they like the light. The hiddur mitzvah and the ikar hiddur mitzvah in Chanukah candles are Shem and Zayas. But they're mahadir about the chanukiah and they forget about the oil itself. Or he says people could spend millions and millions of dollars on a shul. Gorgeous, gorgeous shul. So they have a Beit Knesset Behidura. What about a Tefillah Behidura? What about making the Tefillah a little longer, having a little more Kavana, making sure there's Shiurim? They have enough money to spend on the Shul. What about enough money to pay to make sure that there are Shiurim? And if you have to bring somebody in to give Shiurim, what about that? So he says, sometimes we forget. Sometimes you forget. And then he quotes the Yerushalmi in Shkalim. So Yerushalmi in Shkalim, there were two Amorim that were sitting in a Shul, and one says to the other one, Kama mamon shiku avosaikan. Wow, how much money did they spend on this shul? And then the other one says, Kama nefashos shiku avosaikan. How many nefashos? Meaning the shul was empty. Everybody was out making a living. Rather than spending so much money on the shul, they should have paid some people to be able to sit and learn in the shul. And then the story of Rabbi Avun that made Sha'arim Mifu Arim for the Beis Medrash. And he was mishtabeach in front of Rabbi Mana that he did an amazing job. And Rabbi Mana answered him, our pasuk. So even though the pashtus of our pasuk is that they built heichalos to avodah zara, but the gemara is darshining it to mean it's chitzonius. You have to always make sure that the inside is what's ikker, not just the heichal. So we have to remember always the ikker to be mahader, and then we can expand and have more hiddur mitzvah. Okay, that takes us through Perek Ches of Sefer Hosea.